Greetings in Jesus' name. It's a privilege to be here with you. And I was enjoying the songs and the devotional that we had already tonight. I was thinking about that song, "I was in sin's prison, I was so dark and cold, and God rescued me." And that's a reason that we're thankful tonight for that. I was also thinking of that we just had here, that thought of fitness. You know, I'm not very fit. And it's not because I've been at the gym for 18 hours either. It's because it's kind of hard to start, or it's very hard to start those 15 minutes a day. And a lot of life is that way. That was a very good introduction tonight. I'm going to look at a subject that maybe youth are going to be a little surprised at the subject that I want to look at tonight. But I hope you'll follow with me. I stand with a little bit of fear and trembling on this subject because I think it can be mishandled and misused so badly that I feel very human. So you can pray about that. And I just want to come with a sense of humility and a sense of not having the answers, but God has the answers. And we want to look into that. Actually, my goal this weekend, I address myself to the youth primarily, and my goal is to make you think. I didn't come with a cookie cutter where I'm going to try to punch out a whole bunch of identical replicas. But I actually came with the thought in mind that I'd like you to think about how you make your choices in life. And if I could share something with you this weekend, it would be to give you some things in your hands that you can take and use as you make your choices in life. I like to say this too. Youth are beautiful. Young people are beautiful. And God thinks that. And God has a plan for your life, and He wants to bless you in that. And I would love to see you choose well in life as you make choices. Now, the subject I'd like to tackle tonight is the question, does culture and identity matter? Does culture and identity matter? So what an odd subject. That's one of the reasons I'm quite a bit in fear and trembling tonight as I approach this subject. Does culture and identity matter? I do want to say this, that tonight's subject, I really wouldn't want you to take it and hold it all by itself. Because we're going to talk a little bit about how outside influences inside. But it's not fair to look at that without being honest about the fact that inside is what creates outside. Okay? And so we're not really going to be balanced tonight in what we talk about. But I'd like you to listen up. I hope over the weekend you hear about inside informing outside. One more thing that is good to think about, and we had this thought in the devotional, and I'm going to emphasize it. I want to come back to it later. This is just introduction. But one more thing I would like you to think about is where you stand today, your current positioning, and the direction you're looking. What kind of influence is that going to have in your future? That's a big question. That's a huge question. And it's pretty hard for any of us to answer, but it is a good thing to think about. All right, let's talk a little bit about definitions. So in starting in tonight, I'd like to define, this is just some dictionary definitions of the word culture. Culture is a term that refers to a large and diverse set of mostly intangible aspects of social life. According to sociologists, culture consists of the values, beliefs, systems, language, communication, and practices that people share in common and that can be used to define them as a collective. So from that perspective, if you were talking about culture, you would say it's beliefs, it's values, it's things that a group holds that you could say, oh, that's that culture. I was meditating on this a little bit, and maybe Chad, you should answer this question. But you probably have a little different culture in the north than what's in southern Alberta. And your environment probably influences that. I mean, it's just, we'll just be candid about it. Sometimes we make these things very complicated. What are the industries in the wintertime here? What do you do for work in the wintertime in northern Alberta? Just quickly, somebody tell me.
Logging.
All right, so logging takes you where? Off Main Street? It takes you back in the bush, right? So does that mean that you go and you drive a little two-wheel drive Dodge Dakota in the wintertime? So northern culture is probably 4x4 trucks with plenty of clearance. Is that fair to say that? Is there anything right or wrong about that? It's a fact of life, right? And action drives culture. We're speaking a common language here. We're speaking English. You might be able to talk another language, but that drives a culture. All right, let's go on. We get long-winded here. Let's go on, let's keep talking about the idea of culture. Some more definitions. This is from Webster's, and there's four. So the first one, the customary beliefs, social forms, and material traits of a racial, religious, or social group, also the characteristic features of everyday existence, such as diversions or a way of life shared by people in a place or time. And that's interesting. We highlighted place, but time also affects culture. Second definition, a set of shared attitudes, values, goals, and practices that characterizes an institution or organization. Similar. Third one, the set of values, conventions, or social practices associated with a particular field, activity, or societal characteristic. And the last one, the integrated pattern of human knowledge and behavior that depends upon the capacity for learning and transmitting knowledge to succeeding generations. All right, from those definitions, culture is amoral. Meaning it is not right or wrong, necessarily. It's based in belief. And let me put it this way. I want to write something on the board here. I think to just try to make it simple, belief action habit, that's oversimplifying it, but that is sort of the train of thought. So you don't drive a car into the bush because you believe you'll get stuck if you do it. So that's a belief that I subscribe to. I'd rather not go with you if you drove a car. That equals an action. A repeated action equals a habit. Habits, repeated actions of lots of people equals a culture. It's just fairly simple. So, do you think sometimes we start over here when we should start over here? But do you think this doesn't matter? I want you to think about that. I'd like to turn to the scriptures. I have a number of places to go here in instruction. I'd like to start by turning to the scripture. Let's turn to Hebrews 11 and verse 24. Hebrews 11 and verse 24 says, it's talking about Moses. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the rewards. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, endured as seeing him who is invisible. And here in this chapter is saying Moses believed something. Because he believed something, he took action, and his action was a certain way. I want to come back to that. That we're going to use that tonight, but I'd like to come back to that. And before we do that, I brought a little bit of a display with me that I want to set up where you can see it. If I set it here, can you see it, or is that, that's not where you can see it? Let me see here, how can we do this? Can you see it if I set it back here? No, that's not in some, that's, okay. That's simple, we'll put it up here. I didn't really want you to see it before I was ready. So, if we go like this, so you want to do this so that they're, well, we'll try it like that, move around a little bit. Tell me who you see. Who is it? Well, what does that say to you? I just want to know a quick answer. You don't have to be complicated. An Amish lady? Okay. Anything else? There's probably not just one answer to that. Would a pioneer lady have worn that? So you have a time that comes to mind. Or you have a group of people that comes to mind. All right? Tell me, what would you expect if you went to her house? Would she be on a cell phone? Whether she's a pioneer or Amish, right? What? There's certain things about that culture that will instantly inform you, right? Instantly you'll say, okay, yep. That makes sense. All right, what about him? Nineteen 1980s. Okay. What do you think he's gonna drive? Well, he might drive a truck, but I bet he might drive a skateboard. We're making a lot of assumptions, aren't we? Not everybody agrees that he drives a skateboard, okay. But you are doing something, as well as me. We're thinking thoughts that are connected to what you see, right? Is that fair to do that? I'm not done yet. Brought more friends with. Okay, what do you see there? Say it louder. A Muslim woman. Yeah, sure. Might actually be other people in the world beside Muslims that would look like that, but yes. If you saw somebody like that, especially in certain places and with certain people, that's what you would expect. Okay. What about this fellow? Really wish I had just a little more room here, but we'll go like this. What about him? A golfer. So you're going to expect to see him on the golf course. What if we do this? Does that say anything? That's just a rag with colors on it. Why would you say that says something? It's a symbol, isn't it? It's a symbol. All right. You know, I thought I could play around with this and change this one's hat. I don't know if that makes any differences or not. While we're doing that, I want to just, I don't even know if I can draw this properly. You can maybe help me. I don't know if I have this the right way. Is that right? Does that mean anything to any of you? What is that? Swastika. All right. So, why does that mean something to you? It is a symbol, isn't it? Now, I want to be careful with this. The more I meditated on this, I was thinking about the display, I was thinking about swastika. The more I think we have to be a little careful when we talk about culture, that we don't overstate it by using the strongest symbols, okay? Let's be a little careful with that tonight. I brought some strong symbols with, and I did it on purpose because I want to show you how things show you something. But not everything is that strong. Not all culture is that clearly delineated. Now, I have something to read. Just follow along. We're gathering a whole bunch of different pieces, and we'll come back and try to make some applications. So just here's an essay, a short story by Henry Duvenoy. "I don't like it," Tango complained again. "I won't feel right walking up and down in that." "Shut up and put it on," the boss told him. And so, of course, Tango put it on. The boss was half the size of Tango, but he was smart. If they had given Tango a tail, he would have put it between his legs when the boss spoke. "Not bad," Tango had to admit, looking at himself in the mirror. He pushed out his mighty chest and threw back his huge shoulders. Even the eel, who was the boss's working partner and who rarely opened his mouth, was stirred to speech. "Boy, is he handsome," he said. No question about it, Tango looked good. The policeman's uniform might have been made by the best tailor in Paris. His little eyes looked brighter under the cap. They almost looked intelligent. "Stop staring at yourself and wipe that dumb grin off your face," the boss said, "and listen. This is so easy a half-wit could do it, so maybe if you try hard, you can too. All you do is walk up and down the street, easy and slow like a real cop on his beat. Then if anybody hears us working in the house, they won't ask questions. Keep walking until we come out, then hang around a few minutes covering us. That is all there is to it. Now, do you understand?" "Sure," Tango said, his eyes straying to the mirror. "Then get going," the boss snapped. Tango was a little edgy, walking to the street the boss and the eel had picked out, but nothing happened. The house where the job was to be pulled was in the middle of the block. Tango had rarely seen a street such as this one because he worked in the shabby quarters of Paris, a little purse-snatching, a little shoplifting, he even panhandled. He strolled down the sidewalk, turned at the corner, and came back. While he was turning at the other corner, he saw the police officer. Such a sight would normally send him off as fast as his feet would move. He stared in fear, the palms of his hands were sweating. Then, with the officer just a few feet from him, he raised his arm and saluted. The officer calmly returned the salute and passed by. Tango stood peering after him. He felt strange and thankful. "Say," he said to himself, "say, you see that? I salute him and he salutes right back. I guess I look good to him." He told himself, "I guess he don't see many cops looking so good." After a few more trips, he found an old lady pausing at the corner. Tango did not even see the fat person, her hand. He stopped in front of her and saluted and offered his arm. She looked at him with a sweet smile. "Oh, thank you, officer." "Please, madam," Tango said, "don't say a word." He paused. "That's what we're here for," he added, and saluted her with pride. A shabby man then came toward him. As he spotted Tango, he growled. "Rotten ops," he cried. "Big bag of wind in a uniform. I spit on you," the drunk declared, and he spit on Tango. Something popped in Tango's head. He grabbed the drunk with one mighty hand and dragged him off down the streets. When the boss and the eel returned for completing the job, Tango was in no mood to stop. "You fool, what are you doing?" the boss asked in an angry whisper. "You want to spoil the whole job?" And he struck Tango hard across the cheek. Feelings that can't be described swirled in Tango's head. He remembered the officer answering his salute. He remembered the old lady's sweet smile, and then he remembered what the drunk had said. He rose to full pitch of a mighty anger. While the boss and the eel stared at him in sheer fright, Tango stuffed the shiny police whistle in his mouth and blew loud and long enough to bring all the police in Paris. "Crooks, robbers," he roared, I arrest you in the name of the law." The title of the essay is "Clothes Make the Man." We're not used to hearing that, are we? I'll say one more thing, then we'll get back to some points I want you to think about. There was a controversial study in 1971 in Stanford University where they at random picked a number of students and assigned them to be guards, and the other half of the students they assigned to be prisoners. And after, I don't remember how many days, but they had to quit the experiment because it started to affect the students in ways they never predicted. The guards actually began to become brutal, and the prisoners were under distress. And it was just an experiment. Now, again, it's controversial. Be a little careful with those kinds of things. They can easily be overstated. But there's something about outward pressure that does impact us inside. And what tonight is about, and my first point, I want to talk a little bit about Moses, but my first point I want to make is you will be a part of a culture. Culture is not something you choose to take part in. You will be a part of a culture. It's not an escapable item in life. Let's go back to Moses. I want to put a few things up on the board. We're going to go back and forth with him. We can thankfully erase this off the board. When we read those verses in Hebrews, there's a few things that stood out. I want you to help me with this. I like participation, as you noticed already. I want you to help me with this. Who does it say Moses was? He was who? The son of who? So that makes him a prince in Egypt, right? Wouldn't we call him a prince in Egypt? I just put prince up. Okay? What does it say that he gave up in Egypt? There's several things he gave up in Egypt. What does it say? He left. We're doing Egypt over here.
Pleasures of sin.
Okay, pleasures of sin. The short ones, right? Short-lived ones. Pleasures of sin for a season. All right, so it's good to notice that. What else?
Treasures
of Egypt. Is there anything else? Those are mostly the ones I found. So we're going to call this earthly gain. All right. What did he take on? What did he choose to take? Say it again.
Suffering, affliction.
Suffering, affliction. So we'll just call it suffering. Another translation calls it disgrace. The disgrace of Jesus. So let's just put disgrace of Jesus in there. What does it actually say? Let's get that straight. Are any of you there? Does it say something? Is Jesus mentioned in that verse in the King James? The reproach of Christ. So disgrace or reproach. I actually like the word reproach, but I'll leave what I wrote up here. The disgrace of Jesus. So that's what he took on. Anything else? Okay, so he's not afraid of the wrath of the king. How do we do that? How do we put that in here? Let's put it this way. Not afraid of king's anger or wrath. Really, wrath is a stronger word, probably a better one there. But what did he see? He saw something, right? He saw a future reward, right? We have reproach of Christ, suffering the disgrace of Jesus. So let's say future rewards. I want to underline this in case I forget later. I think this is pretty important. The Bible says that for a reason. He saw something out ahead. There's a future reward, and that is very important. Now, what does it say empowered this shift? What's the word?
Faith.
And faith in who? Jesus. Thank you. Faith in God, seeing Jesus. It says also he perseveres. Now, I don't know how much you've thought about Moses, but there's a little story that has really intrigued me. Moses, they say, Josephus is supposed to have said this, that Moses was a well-loved general in Egypt's army. There was a large army that fought against Egypt, the Ethiopians and others that gathered with them. And they were coming up against Egypt, and Egypt was very afraid. And as the story goes, Moses was commander, and he came up with the idea of carrying the ibis bird in baskets out into the desert and releasing it ahead of the army so that the Egyptian army could travel across the desert where nobody would travel because of the poisonous snakes. And the ibis birds picked up the snakes, so they were able to travel and catch the opposing army where they didn't expect to find them, and they won the battle. And Moses was well-liked in Egypt, according to that legend. Now, sometimes when we read the story of Moses, we forget what the Bible says here, that he was a prince in Egypt. And when he made that switch, he really what it says here is very accurate. He put that behind, and he took on him what went with God's people. Now, I want to ask you a question tonight. Have you ever heard the idea that I'm just going to serve Jesus, and we'll leave all the rest of this to the side? The rest of this stuff doesn't matter. It's just culture. It doesn't matter. I'm just going to serve Jesus, and the rest of this doesn't matter. Don't answer me. Just think. Have you ever heard that idea? Why couldn't Moses? Why did Moses have to go here or here? Can you actually do that? So let's leave that set. Let's just let that set. There's a question. And I just want to ask you again. So let's say you say, I don't like this culture. I'm going to have a different culture. Let's just suppose you say that. Well, we have people in history who said that. There was a movement that said, I don't like the establishment. We're going to start something different. Any guesses what they were called?
Hippies.
Did they create their own culture? Do you see what I'm saying? How you might even have a culture. You can possibly even have a culture of, I don't like that culture. That might become your culture. It could become a culture. I don't like that one. Could be yours. But you will have a culture. I just want to drive that point home. As humans, because culture is just simply belief, action, habit, culture, it's inescapable. It really is amoral. Culture is really not the thing that you should focus on. But it is naive at best to think you can escape it.
There is a biblical culture.
Yes, we'll come to that. There is a biblical culture. Actually, let's go there right now. So biblical culture is belief in Christ and in what he teaches in action, and it will build a culture. That's really what we're saying, is that you will build a culture. There is no way of escaping. You will build a culture, and I like that thought of biblical culture, build that kind. I want to say again, though, we don't start over here. To build a culture, you don't start over here. And to change a culture, I'm not sure we should start over here. We really should go back and say, well, what does the Word of God say? You know, that's maybe the problem we make sometimes, is we're focused on some other culture we disagree with. And so we're going to make a change, right? Let's go back to belief and so forth. All right, let's keep moving on here. Sometimes culture shifts. So there's a very strange story that I've run across. I like history. You'll find that out. I like history. But there's a strange story of Mennonite Nazis in World War II. It's a sad story. It takes place in Danzig, Prussia. And one writer said there was a time when across Mennonite pulpits, there were preachers saying the Nationalist Socialist Nazi Party is the one we should be supporting. And supposedly, according to this writer, the one place in Germany where Hitler gained a majority vote, over 50% vote, the one place was in Danzig. And according to this writer, the Mennonites helped it happen. Now, they were Mennonites in name by that time, but something had shifted in their culture. Okay? Follow my train of thought. Something had shifted. If Menno Simons had visited Danzig in those years, would he have ended up in a concentration camp? If he could have time visited? It's just a question. I'm not trying to make or break this. You do your own research. But what I'm saying is that the culture shifted. And now, instead of Jesus and his teachings being the primary thing, there were a lot of soldiers from that group of people. And understand me, they were not free to choose if they would be in the army. That was conscription in Germany. But it was accommodated, or it was okay to be a part of the army as well. Something had shifted. Instead of belief in Jesus, there was a fear of what was going to happen to them as a German people. And some of them, and again, you don't want to blame everybody with what some did. I'm sure there were those who did what was right. I can guarantee you there was. But there were some who ran factories that employed slave labor from the Stutthof concentration camp. If you want to know where to find that, I can point it out to you. But that's not our thing tonight. What I'm saying is belief, action, habit, culture. And for those people, something had shifted in their belief. Okay? Something had shifted in their belief. That's what you got to come back to. It wasn't just a change of culture. Something had shifted in their belief. Now, the good news is, because culture is this way, at any point, you can change it. Your choices as young people can empower a change in what your culture is, but you have to start the right way and you have to make the right choices. Daniel is a prime example of that. Daniel was in Babylon because of bad choices of his people in Jerusalem. That's why he was there. He chose to make right choices. And so belief is the foundation. All right, I want to repeat it. I want to emphasize this. There ain't no such a thing as no culture. I use bad English on purpose. There ain't no such a thing as no culture. All right. When we get into our choices where belief and action coordinates, they're usually based on what we find most important or interesting. There's a children's story, and in the children's story, there's this adolescent boy who just got a new car. And in the story, it says it so well. It says, within 2 minutes, Robert could take any conversation from world politics to town gossip to cars in general and to his in particular. If you've been around me very long, you might think, you might know what I'd like to talk about. It might have something to do with grass seeds. You know what I'm saying? The things that are important to us, we talk about. We think about. We value. Think about that with where you're going with culture. All right. Now, another thing, just some different thoughts here. I want to come back to that thought, but one other thought is that culture is also always imperfect, okay? So when you have a group of people who obey the Bible and follow Jesus, they still remain humans. And there is no biblical, godly culture that you can go to and say, oh, that's just got it perfect. Because culture is not in itself, it's an expression of this, okay? And I think it's good to know that it's not going to, we're not going to get it perfect. But I would like you to think, and I'm talking to the youth especially now, I'd like you to think of some things that I want you to just, I'm going to play the game a little bit of, okay, that's just, can I do this? Will you allow me to do this? To say, that's just Mennonite. Can I say that? All right. I want your help. Tell me some items that are Mennonite items in culture. I'm going to the idea, so I really want you to tell me some, not just food, okay? I don't care about food. I'm going to something that's based in belief. So let's have a few. You help me out. I have a few written down, so we'll go to the ones I'm going to go to yet, but what do you have?
Style of head covering.
Can I take it away from the style of it and go to a head covering? Is that right? All right. So belief in practicing 1 Corinthians 13, wearing a covering or devotional veiling or whatever you call it. All right. So first of all, if we say that's just Mennonite and we say, well, let's just dispense with it. What's going to happen? I'm talking about Moses now. Moses looked ahead. Okay? What's going to happen forwards, ahead, if we just do away with this? It is a part of believing in Jesus. It is a part of what the scripture teaches us to do. It is a part of headship and submission. It is tied into so many things. Do you see what I mean? It's tied into biblical teaching. And to just say, oh, well, that doesn't matter, is ignoring something. Okay, let's have another one. Thank you, by the way.
Non-resistance.
So the teaching, and I personally have a preference, when I read Matthew 5 and I read what Jesus teaches, I personally have the preference of calling it Jesus' expression of sacrificial love. Non-resistance is out of Romans 13. Resist not evil. Love your enemies, resist not evil. It's also in Matthew 5. That's where we get the term from, but it really is rooted in sacrificial love to our enemies. Okay? I just want to play this one. I want to put another one in place too before we do this. What about homes? What about divorce? On the way up here, I kept seeing these billboards. Divorce easy, $1,000. And on my phone today, when I was getting here, there was this WhatsApp status of Steve Eversole saying, 1975 to 2025, today is his 50th anniversary. That's pretty neat. That's amazing. That's wonderful. Now, we can say, you know what? I'm going to go to this other culture that says that's not necessary. Non-resistance or it says it's okay to have divorce or marriage. I'm going to go there. I believe they're following Jesus. I'm going to go there. Maybe you'll have a 50th anniversary. But there's a really high chance your grandchildren and your children, there's a high likelihood that a number of them won't. What I'm saying is you should think about those kinds of things. Really, belief in Jesus, action, culture, that direction, but you should not just ignore those kinds of items in your choices. All right. What if I said to you, what if I approached one of you youth and said to you, you know, I think what you're doing is just because of culture. If I took you somewhere else and took you out of your setting, you'd just do differently than what you do here. Would you get a little bit, stiffen a little bit and say, you don't know me? But that is a good question for us, really. It is a good question for us, and we say, actually, that's not good. We're actually saying culture is a positive thing. It seems like I'm saying that tonight, but it's not good. It's not right if you're just living because it's been handed to you in a box, and this is the way I'm doing it, and you have no inner faith and belief that will take you to standing up when everybody else is bowing down. And we're not promoting that tonight, that idea. So conviction or culture. I actually don't like that statement. It's not an accurate statement. Conviction and culture. Because you will have culture of some kind. Don't forget that. Conviction. But we want you to develop convictions. You know what, youth? From my perspective, I like to hear you say, but why do we do this? If your whys take you away from following Jesus, you're probably not asking the right kind of whys. But it's okay to ask, why do we do it? When I had one of my boys, when he was little, he asked so many questions. I did not know how to answer all his questions. And an older dad said to me, it's okay. That's how he's learning. And we actually don't want our churches to be full of people just walking lockstep because that's what somebody else told them to do. We actually want you to think and to think about your choices and to follow Jesus within that. All right. I feel like it's probably time to wind this down. I had more stuff here, but a few more thoughts. Culture is bigger than you are. Okay, you can get out of it if you follow the right path with belief. But it's a little like the gravity of the universe. You know, the sun has a lot of gravity and keeps those planets circling around them. And we're a little bit naive, and pardon me, youth. I'm still youth too. But we're a little bit naive sometimes when we think that we have nothing to do with any orbits. We'll just take our own path through the universe. Life doesn't work that way. These things in life are bigger than you are, but you don't have to be caught either. Okay, I want to emphasize that tonight and through the weekend. You do not have to be caught. There's freedom. And that's actually what I would like you to think about, is the freedom to follow Jesus. All right, cultures can be good influence. They can be a negative influence. I think it's better, instead of thinking of cultures in positive or negative, to think in terms of faith and to think in terms of Egypt or Satan, or the world, and to think in terms of Christ and following him. That's where you should make your distinctions, not on culture. That's where you should make your distinctions. One thing I will say, and that is that purpose, coming back to astronomy, I found this intriguing. We had Morris Yoder there recently, and one of the things that he emphasized that was so intriguing to me is for a planet to stay in orbit around the sun, or any heavenly body to stay in orbit, it needs forward velocity and gravity, both at a perfect balance, not just one. When you are adrift, when your interests are in entertainment, when you don't really know where you're headed and you don't want too much commitment, you're on dangerous ground. Okay? Just think about that. All right, I'd like to come back to Moses. And there's other examples we could use. Remember the choice of faith. Faith in Jesus. Faith that Jesus will take you through. Look for your answers. What does the Bible teach? Be willing to ask others. If you feel like something within the culture that you're engaged in troubles you, talk to someone about it. Be willing to open your Bible with them. Let's turn in conclusion to John, the first chapter. John chapter 1 and verse 14. There's a lot in this chapter we could read, but I'm choosing to just read 14 to 18. This is talking about Jesus. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So picture here, he calls Jesus the Word, and he says, he came to earth and he lived with us, and we saw him, that he had the glory or the perfect form of God the Father, full of grace and truth. Verse 15, John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this is he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have we all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. That's a foundation. Jesus came to show us God. The law was given by Moses, but grace and truth is through Jesus. That is what I wish for you, I desire for you to have as the basis of the culture that you will build into a place where I cannot go. God bless you.